And we welcome you to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm your host, Jim Powers. Glad to have you with us. And it's been a terrific week so far. Mother Nature throwing some curveballs, as she always does. Would not be state track double weekends without any rain delays. And we sure enough had those over the last weekend with not only down in Jeff City being delayed, but also up here with the sectionals. And we're going to get into that here in a minute, but a lot of great show lined up for you. And we're going to kick it off going to the track. And we're going to bring Ryan Banta from Parkway Central back. Had a great conversation with him about a month ago about the track things going on around the area. Well, Parkway Central and a lot of local kids got out of the sectional this past weekend, and they're heading down to Jeff City for state. Ryan, thanks so much again for taking the time. And I tell you what, really impressed with classes 1 and 2 last week, but I'm excited about 3, 4, and 5 getting to Jeff City this weekend.
Well, first of all, Jim, thanks for having me on. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys and talk about track and field as a track and field nut. It's a pleasure. Yeah, the weather has been a challenge as it always tends to be. We keep riding this hashtag Banta versus the weather. And unfortunately, I'm not winning many of those days in terms of weather. But, you know, we have thankfully been able to survive the weather to this point, you know, including dodging some tornadoes last week as well in the St. Louis area, which were very scary and worrisome. So hopefully, you know, this weekend coming up, we won't be as impacted by the weather. But if we are, at this point, that's become pretty standard and typical. We expect the weather to be an issue. It's St. Louis, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but I do have a geography background, and the rain in St. Louis, actually, we get it. I think it's something like a quarter inch more rain than Seattle does. We just get it in waves, where Seattle gets it all the time. So it's one of those things I think people just have to recognize as a reality of spring sports.
Before we kind of touch upon classes 1 and 2 this past weekend, because I know you saw some of the teams and some of the kids throughout the regular season, you know, obviously we had a delay down there on Saturday. You know, this past Saturday, sectionals were supposed to take place at Kirkwood down at Festus over at Mexico and tried to get them in, but Mother Nature had other plans. What was the thought process into going from Saturday, moving to Monday, and now a quick turnaround for a lot of those kids that are going to compete on Friday in the prelims in 3, 4, and 5?
There's absolutely tension with having to make those decisions. I think the idea is to try to do no harm. I know that 3 of the 4 sectionals for classes 3, 4, and 5 did not contest. I think it was only the Kansas City sectional and Warrensburg that ended up getting their sectional in. And, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages to everything. I think if our athletes are warm and happy and get to compete in relatively stable conditions, that's great. And I think that Monday provided that. However, I think at this point in the year, a lot of times we as coaches also want to give our athletes a lot of rest. So as a coach who has a lot of sprinters, you know, the concern is for any guy who has a lot of sprinters or gal that's coaching, is that now we're looking at, well, you might have had 4 races on Monday, 4 races on Friday, 4 races on Saturday. It's a lot of running. So one of the things is, how do you manage that? Well, obviously, there's not going to be a lot getting done yesterday, today, or tomorrow in terms of work because the hay is in the barn. So the idea of the philosophy of do no harm, recovery is the most important thing. And do what you need to do, but don't overextend yourself. So one of the things that I discussed with my athletes is we're there to qualify. We're there to get through, and that is finishing top 4. Anything beyond that, you don't need to break a land speed record, because I feel like you've only got so many bullets in the chamber that you can to rise to that occasion, to bring yourself to that threshold of basically your fullest potential, you know, getting to that 99.999% of your maximum abilities, which rides the line of excellence, but also catastrophe, you know, and for people that have to run like relays over the weekend, Rockbridge, you know, unfortunately did not get the 4x2 out because there was a poor exchange, something went down, and they had the fastest time in the state ever, you know, and I think it was the 2nd or 3rd fastest time in the United States. And so these are things that are like realities that come with sport. And unfortunately, you know, you've got to make adjustments. And good news for them is now those athletes that are running the 4x2 are available to run the 4x1. And you just have to make the best of the situations you've been given. And the way I look at it is, you know, I'm of the impression we made it out of the meet with no issues or concerns. I will be honest with you. We had graduation last night. So one of the things I said to my athletes is, there's just no way that practice makes sense. So I would rather you guys go home and rest, take an ice bath, stretch out, listen to your favorite comedian, call a relative and tell them you love them. Do something that's positive and restorative that doesn't require a lot of physical effort.
You know, and the one thing too, and I'll go with what the weather was down at Jeff City this past weekend with 1 and 2. On Friday, it was 89 degrees, sun out, beautiful. Saturday, we all looked like we were back in early spring to where it was 30 degrees. I mean, the temperature didn't get over 60, you know, damp, drizzly. As a coach, how much does that affect athletes, especially when you run the prelims on Friday and it's so warm and sunny, but then you turn around on Saturday, it's damp, it's cold, it's windy, and it's a totally different atmosphere and environment than what you ran your prelim in?
Yeah, I think the thing that people that are outside of the world of track and field probably don't understand is you have to be like at the most optimized as you can possibly be in basketball, football, hockey, soccer. You know, you might have a muscle issue, you might have a sore this or sore that, and you can kind of strap it up and you're probably better than your replacement because you're 1 of 5, 1 of 11, 1 of 9, whatever that may be. But if you're 1 of 1 and the difference between you and the other person is a mere less than a 10th of a second, these things are concerning. So one of the things I always talk to my athletes about is that we want to make sure that we danced with the boy we brought, you know, and I coach girls. So, you know, we talk about like, we're not going to radically change things, but what we want to do is we want to be prepared for anything and everything to happen, you know. And Missouri, again, as we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, it'll throw all 4 seasons at you in one day. You know, I have literally been in the presence of 7 tornadoes in my life, and I don't live in Kansas. You know, I flew into Fresno, which has never had a tornado in like 20 some odd years. The day I fly in, the tornado crosses the airport, you know, so I'm probably a diviner. I probably should sell my skills to drought stricken areas. But nevertheless, I tell my athletes, you're going to be in these situations. So how do we prepare? You have to have a lot of layers, have to have a lot of clothes, have different socks, multiple pairs of underwear, wet wipes, toilet paper, have a chair to sit in so you're not sitting on the ground, have an umbrella. We bring stuff for like snacks and food and water and Gatorade and Powerade and all this type of stuff so that no matter what situation we're in, we're prepared to warm up, cool down, eat, deal with warm weather, cold weather, rainy weather, and we have redundancy of having multiple of those things so it doesn't cause us a problem. Now, Jim, what I will tell you, I think when you talk about what affects you more, I feel like you can always put on more clothes and you can get warm. The thing I'm always concerned about is going from a cold day to an extremely hot day because people are not acclimatized. That's always a danger. And so as crappy as it might have been last Friday to go from 89 and basically just wonderful conditions to the opposite, which felt more like an October day, you know, as much as that stinks, at least your body isn't going to go into too much shock as long as you brought the proper attire and proper clothing and you warm up right. And thankfully the state, Jefferson City and their facility has provided us much better options to take care of that aspect so that people can get through the state meet with a limited chance of injury through a good warm up and a good cool down. Because people who, again, are not track nuts like me, they used to not really give us any option.
Right.
You know, there was nowhere to go. And if there was, it was like in a, you know, pitted place where you could get like you roll an ankle or do something. And now the fact that we're allowed on turf down there and then the D area is what they call it. That's been fantastic and very helpful to all of us.
No doubt about it. Well, real quick, just to recap this past weekend, Principia boys take care of business in class one, a terrific meet for them. Asinga breaks a couple state records in class one, just a terrific meet for him. And then over in class two, Whitfield boys, Lutheran North boys, go 2 and 3. You know, and Whitfield boy, I felt so bad for him. They were in the catbird seat pretty much most of the afternoon on Saturday, and then Lawson gets a split on a result in the high jump, the very last event that finished, to beat Whitfield by a half point. I mean, you had a chance to see those guys run throughout the season. You know, what a terrific, you know, day for Principia, Whitfield, and Lutheran North. And once again, on Saturday, some pretty tough conditions.
Yeah, I absolutely, first of all, I'm a big fan as a sprint guy of the young man at Principia. Just an amazing talent. And to think about, first of all, Principia has a really good culture of track and field for a really long time. I mean, they've won numerous state medals and state trophies and stuff like that. Their coach is in the Hall of Fame, you know, their former coach. And it's just neat to see that in the St. Louis area for them to be able to manage that and succeed. And then my first job actually was as a paid coach was at Whitfield. I was a cross country coach many, many, many moons ago. I think it was in the fall of 2002. And so I still have a lot of love for Whitfield. One of my former assistant coaches worked there as well for a really long time. And his wife is an administrator there of the Great Houses. And so I have a lot of love for them. And you know, for them to be able to do that, a lot of people don't know this. Whitfield doesn't have a track.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing that without a track facility, which is just even more impressive and incredible. And that just shows you the ability to rise to the occasion and to get close. And one of the things I always think about is, you know, to get that close is an accomplishment in and of itself. And obviously last year, you know, we were within 5 points of winning the whole thing, came down to the last event and we fell a little short. And so, you know, hopefully this year with a little bit of redemption and unfinished business, we want to finish strong and right that wrong. And if we are blessed to have that opportunity, we will be eternally grateful for that.
Yeah, you guys did took care of your business down at sectional. You took the sectional title for 149. Parkway North, a great day for the Parkways. They got second place with 86, but, you know, Caitlin winning the 100. Then you've got, you know, Nena winning the 2 and the 4. I mean, just, you know, up and down your line with your sprinters. They set the table for you. Your relays got the job done. I mean, it was just an overall team day for you guys on Monday at sectional.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of our girls. You know, there are rare moments where you have what is almost a perfect day. And that's one of the hard things about like track and field is, and everybody knows this in sport who coaches, it's a roller coaster, right? You're up and down, you're up and down. But in most team sports, you win as long as your main star or somebody significant didn't get hurt and they've got them for the next game, you feel good about that. Where in track and field, there are 19 events, 2 competitors per event, you know, and then your 4 relays are part of those 19. And so it's constantly up and down, constantly up and down. And, oh, one good thing happens over here and a tragedy happens over here. And you know, we as human beings are wired to focus on the negative or the dangers instead of the positives, you know, and as a society, we need to work on that. But for us on Monday, it was really a great day. And we had some positive surprises. You know, Michael Green ended up qualifying in the 400, running a monster PR over a second and a half faster than she's ever run. She's now ranked 4th in the state, you know, where previously she was just right in that realm of, you know, 8, 9, 10. So for her to make that kind of move, Nena Opara is now ranked 20th all time in state history with a 400 meter dash. And you have Kaylin and you have Sky Lee, who's nationally ranked in the hurdles. I am just a very lucky guy that I have a great track and field team where we have representation from the distance squad, the jump squad, the throw squad, the hurdle squad, the sprint squad, and 3 of the 4 relays. It's really a credit to my team and my assistant coaches and our ability to kind of play the chessboard that is track and field to get our athletes in a position for them to be successful and then knock it out of the park. I mean, ultimately, we coach all year long, but at the end of the day, they got to get it done. And Monday was a great day for us. And I was really proud of them. And now the goal is keep the momentum going, stay really focused. We're on a business trip. And hopefully when it's all said and done, we will end with health and satisfaction with an effort put out there that we can be proud of.
You know, the boys team for you guys, Devin Walker, he gets a couple qualifications in the hurdles. I mean, a good day for them as well. I really think class 4 and class 5 with you guys, MICDS on both sides of the ledger, you got Parkway North, And then you got the usual suspects from the other side of the state. I love what Class 4 is going to bring to the table this weekend down at Jeff City, because there's going to be so many terrific athletes that are going to headline a lot of, I mean, these prelims are going to be off the charts on Friday afternoon down there.
Absolutely. And I think that people, I mean, we have nationally ranked national caliber athlete. Missouri as a state, especially in Class 4 and Class 5, punches way above its weight. And pound for pound, if you would, you know, take it with population versus what we produce, so many national qualifiers, so many nationally ranked athletes, so many Olympians, so many Olympic medalists, world champion finalists. And so, like, if you want to see some of the greatest human beings in track and field in the future, you should take your butt down to Jefferson City and marvel in the magnificent creations that God made and the talented coaches and athletes in their mutual partnership to achieve greatness and excellence. And yeah, our boys team had a solid meet as well. I'm very excited for them. And Coach Warren is one heck of a hurdles coach. And so if you want to see what good hurdling looks like, you know, you should just come on by to our practice, because Steve does such a great job. Yeah. And it's just going to be an amazing, exciting day with a lot of magnificent performances that will be awe-inspiring. And what's really cool, I don't think people understand this, is like the Jim Ryan factor. So like a long time ago, Jim Ryan was the first man, or not Jim Ryan, sorry, Roger Bannister was the first man to break the 4-minute barrier. And when Roger Bannister did that, you had dozens and dozens of people who then did it in the next couple of years. By going down to this meet, even if you didn't make it, even if you weren't a qualifier, you're going to see people do things and perform and make things happen. And they can make you a believer in what's humanly possible. And the power of belief is the best performance enhancing drug there is. And so go down there, get inspired, watch what the greats are doing, and figure out, how can I do that as well? How can I close the gap? It's an amazing thing, and it's a unique opportunity to see the best athletes in the state all in one spot. And it's pretty much the only sport that provides that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know, I have a blast because I get to announce all the award winners. I get to watch the kids go up on the podium after they run, and to see those reactions and to see just what they do and how they do it. You know, people don't get it, and you hit it right on the head. If you want to see some unbelievable performances and unbelievable student athletes, you need to get down to Jeff City and watch some of this track and field stuff. It's just absolutely unbelievable. So, Ryan, I know you're busy. You're getting ready to head down there. I'm getting ready to head down there as well for my second weekend. But always thanks for your time, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you and the Colts take care of some business down at Jeff City this weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Jim. Thanks again. Thanks to the audience, and appreciate it. We'll see you on Friday.
No problem. Ryan Banta, the head girls coach on track and field over at Parkway Central. Once again, they will get going on Friday morning. Bright and early, they'll get going. We've got the classes 3, 4, and 5 down at Atkins Stadium. Make it down. If you get a chance, come down. The weather's going to be terrific. If you can't come down live, it's going to be on Mission.TV. You'll be able to watch all the action there as well. When we come back, we're going to go back to the baseball field and what's setting up to be just an unbelievable quarterfinal game. It's Francis Howell, Howell Central. We're going to talk it over with Francis Howell Central's head coach coming up next here on Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. I'm Jim Powers, and great to talk to Ryan Banta. It's going to be a terrific weekend down at Jeff City at Atkins Stadium for the Classes 3, 4, and 5 state track and field championships. But the quarterfinals in baseball take place. Teams are looking to make their way down to Ozark, Missouri next week to participate in the Mission State Championships there. And what a terrific story coming out of St. Charles County. You know, a team that we've heard a lot about throughout the year, but they've made their way, gotten some big wins over the last week in districts, and they'll be playing in the quarterfinals this coming Saturday. It's Francis Howell Central, and their head coach, Nick Beckman, joins us. And Coach, congratulations on a great season. What a great run for you and your kids here in the latter part of the season.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, they've stepped up quite a bit. I think we've won like 8 out of our last 9 and went through last week and had a couple big wins come from behind in the semifinals and, you know, a 1-0 win against a tough SLU team. So we're looking forward to Saturday.
You know, middle of the season, you guys kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch and you lost 3 straight and then, you know, turn around towards the end of April, lost another 3-game stretch. Was that kind of where you saw the team say, okay, if we're going to make, you know, make the run, we've got to kind of fix a few things and turn the boat around? Because ever since you lost that doublehead, that split series to Holt and then the Parkway Central, you guys have just been on fire.
Yeah. You know, we you know, that Holt game, those 2 games, Holt played really well. And we didn't play as well as we wanted to. So we had a reset there and you know, came back. And I really think one of the changes, we played a doubleheader against Parkway Central. And it was we called it a barbecue and baseball day. And we were down. And we had, I mean, there's a lot of people there. And we lost the first one. And then we were down in the later innings in that second game. And we had a couple of really big hits and then a big home run. And it kind of turned it a little bit. So, we got a little bit kind of our mojo back, I guess you could say. And then, you know, anytime you're running through the GAC South, those are some tough teams. And, you know, the other one, we lost a doubleheader to our 2 games in a row to Zumwalt West. And they spanked us. They beat us 6-0 and then 10-0. And, you know, you just kind of regroup. And we had a mental day. We're big on the mental training. We spent about 45 minutes with our assistant coach running us through some meditation stuff and just kind of that reset button. You know, but like I tell the boys, Zumwalt West, you know, those 2 arms, Whistler and Deverman, they shoved on everybody. So we didn't take it too badly. And then we talked about our goal was to get to 20 wins. And we said, if we can win this amount of games, that'll put us at 20. And then, you know, we got there before the last game. Then it just kind of was like, all right, let's go off of that and let's keep going and rolling. And we got in the semifinals against Hazelwood West and Scott Borchini does a really good job over there. And they had us. But we put pressure on in the last inning and we did, you know, what we do a lot. And, you know, we put a bunt down and made them make that play and got a win off of that and then went into SLU and at their park. It's a tough park to hit in and Braden Rubel shoved on them and you know, got that 1-0 victory.
Talk about Braden's performance in that SLU game. 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, a 1-hitter. And mm-hmm. You know, Scott Harris, he's a good friend of mine. He said that pitching performance may go down in the annals of, you know, one of the greatest pitching performance ever at House Central.
I mean, in terms of the moment and, you know, being a district championship game and no room to breathe and things like that, you know, he did extremely well. He held his composure. He limited the walks, you know, but he did it really by it was a mental thing. We talked about 2 days prior of we're just going to attack. And if you've been to Sheridan Stadium, the wind blows in there. So we knew going in that if we attack and we fill it up and make them, his stuff is good enough to where if he doesn't help them out, it's going to be a tough day for him. And he just attacked and he went really fastball changeup. I think he threw 3 curveballs and just basically said, here, come get it. And we made plays behind him. We, you know, didn't make any errors, played clean baseball there, rolled, you know, double play when we needed it. And they had a runner reach second twice, I think, didn't have anybody reach third. So, you know, it was really a dominating performance by him. And just in that mindset of I'm going to attack the zone and make you beat us. And he did an extremely good job under pressure.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at the rest of your pitching staff and you know, Clayton Ellos had a terrific year. You know, Henson, excuse me, if I'm mispronouncing his name, he's had a terrific year. You know, you guys have a really, really deep pitching staff that has been successful for you. And when you get into a situation like we're going to see on Saturday in the quarterfinal, and then you get 5-6 days to get ready for the semi if you're able to advance. that deep pitching staff kind of helps you out because you can almost go all hands on deck in that quarterfinal.
Oh yeah. We don't know who we're throwing, honestly. So, but it is mindset, you know, if you're going to attack Prince House lineup, 1-9 is one of the best around. So if you're going to attack them, it is all hands on deck. And Elo has been really good for us, especially coming out of the pen late in the innings. Henthorne is a sophomore, has been our Saturday guy, and he throws three pitches and he does a really good job. Obviously Rubel can come in, so there's a lot of different avenues and our depth, because going into the season, our true ace is hurt with Lane. And so we haven't had him all year. So the depth has really been kind of an advantage for us in terms of just, we can roll guys out left and right and continue to get strikes and fill it up. We don't have anybody that's going to, come in and overpower anybody necessarily, but it's our mindset of we got to fill it up and we got to throw three pitches for strikes. And if we can do that and keep hitters off balance, get weak contact, then we'll be okay.
Offensively, Aiden Hernandez has just been terrific all year for you. 445 batting average, 34 runs batted in, 9 doubles, a couple triples, a home run. He's kind of the guy that you build that offense around, and everybody feeds off of him, especially in this run over the last part of the season.
So, yeah, Hendo is I tell people all the time, he's a different breed. You know, you talk about built differently. He's a football player. He's a wrestler. He's a state title contending wrestler. And then he's our catcher. As our junior, he's also our captain. This is a kid that will go to morning workouts and then work out in PE class. And then if we have a workout after school, I mean, he is literally built different. And everybody you talk to, whether it's, through summer ball, the football coaches, it's just, he's going to be a 12 letter winner. So he's varsity every year for every sport. And last year he struggled as a sophomore. He struggled for us. I think he struck out like 35% of the time. So coming into the season, we made a bat plane change with him and try to get him in the zone earlier and keep him in the zone longer. Sending videos back and forth, and he was always working. And we're talking about holding his angles, things like that. And he came out, and I think he struck out 8 times this year. And it was in the 25s with less at bats. So it's just such a huge jump. He's making good contact. He has some doubles, double pop in him. And defensively, he's extremely smart. We used to call pitches last year and we kind of let him go. Situationally, we'll jump in every once in a while, but 90% of the time, if I'm thinking, okay, let's throw this pitch, he's throwing that pitch. And he's just a different breed. He really is. He's a great kid. He's an honors kid, AP kid. I've never heard a negative word about Hendo.
And then Nathan Anderson is another young man that's been terrific for you. 36 runs batted in. He's got 9 doubles as well. With those two guys in the middle of that lineup, it makes it very difficult. Like you said, you put pressure on teams to have to attack them because you've got other guys that are in the bottom part of the order that could really step up and bring them around the score.
Yeah, Hendo broke our hits record this year. Nathan broke our RBI record this year. And they work well together. They make solid contact. They can drive the ball to all fields, so you can't defensively like shift them and take away things. And Nathan's another kid that just stepped up this year. Last year, he shared playing time, and coming into this year, he just kept hitting and hitting and hitting and, finding barrels and things like that. Yeah, and that's going to lead to hits. And then, when we get down to the bottom of the order, now we can start doing other things. We got a lot of guys that can move the ball and play small ball. Got a couple guys that can run. And so when you get guys on base or get guys in front of them on base, we're comfortable with them driving the ball in.
I've had a chance to talk to a lot of the coaches this year. And one of the things that I've noticed is you guys got some bats that can hit it out of the park. But it seems like a lot of the high school coaches are seeing what the major colleges are doing. They're going to small ball. You're seeing what Tony Vitello is doing down at Tennessee. You're seeing, what Mississippi State and some of those schools are doing is They're trying to manufacture runs station to station. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that in the high school level. Have you seen a lot of that as well, you know, over the last couple of years?
In my 2 years, you know, we make a focus on being well-rounded players. And if you're going to play in our program, you're going to know how to bunt. And we spend a lot of time doing that. And a lot of it is you're putting pressure on the defense. You know, we have a couple guys that can hit it and things like that, but they can also, if we need to, lay a bunt down. And it just depends on the situation where we're at. You know, some of the teams that we scout, yeah, they're going to lay bunts down. I know Francis Howell, you know, Darren Sissel, the assistant coach over there, is like the bunting master. And, you know, when I coached over there, you know, we worked a lot on it. So I know they're going to bunt if they need to, but they also got guys that can hit it out of the park too. So I think it just depends on where you're at in the lineup and where you're at in the game. And you know, like I always tell our guys, if we can get a leader, we can, you know, stay close, we can put that pressure on. Now, if you're trailing, you know, 8-0, you can't really, it takes away things. It takes away the running game. It takes away the bunts and things like that. And so it just depends on the situation. But, you know, if you ask teams that scout us, the big thing, yeah, they'll lay one down. You know, every time that certain people come up, here we go, come on in, which I tell my guys, if they're going to come in, that's great. It opens up holes for us. And we've already won a little bit of the game in that regard.
All right. The quarterfinals, Saturday afternoon, 2:30, chance to go to the Classic semifinal, inter-district rival. You guys have played in districts, you know, against each other. 43 times you all have played in 24 years, never in a sectional or quarterfinal. How cool is this going to be on Saturday afternoon over at Howe?
Oh, it's, you know, for the kids, it's going to be like, it's an amazing atmosphere. You know, you're going to have 1,000 or so, 2,000 people there. You know, our boys, we're ready to play. There's a lot of stuff, you know, in social media, things going on like that. And it's, you know, our goal is to drown out some of the noise and just go play baseball, have a good time, make a memory or two, and enjoy the moment. Because high school sports is, I mean, this is what it's about. You're playing against kids you played with and against growing up. Almost everybody, we all know each other. You know, there is a rivalry there. So, but in the end, it's still a high school athletic contest, and you're just going out there to enjoy the moment.
And you guys had a couple of close games with them during the regular season. In fact, came down to the seventh inning.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's got to, you know, even though, yeah, it's two L's in the loss column, but you know, you can hang with, you know, one of the top teams in the metro area, one of the top teams in the state in this situation, especially the way you guys have been playing as of late.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they've been hitting the ball really well. I think they've won like 10 in a row. They've beaten some really good arms. And like I said, that lineup 1-9 is legit, and the arm they have, the ace, you know, he's a good pitcher. So it'll be tough. It'll be a tough contest, but yeah, going in, we know that, hey, you know, we were a couple plays away the previous games from turning two L's into two dubs. And so we're going to take that mindset of, we are definitely the underdog here. You know, they're sitting with Division I commits up and down the lineup. You know, so we know that, and we enjoy that. We're a blue collar team. We're a blue collar town, and so we relish that.
How much fun you having coaching this crew this year? I mean, just seeing the look on your face when we're talking about the kids and talking about the matchup and everything. You've just got to be having an absolute blast with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, depends on the day. I tell everybody that this group of kids is. It's a great group. They've bought into everything that, you know, and it's really our do your job mentality and things like, and they buy into it. They enjoy that blue collar. We're not really that a wealthy area. You know, we're who we are. We're a middle-class suburb and the kids live like that. And so they carry themselves like that. There's some of them, we got a little chip on our shoulder, you know, but it's enjoyable. And so, they compete. They nonstop compete, and they do it the right way. They don't chirp the other teams. They don't, you know, go into any of that Bush League stuff. And so it's good kids. They come out, they work hard. You know, they put the team first, and you know, they're enjoyable. They really are. I don't have anything negative. You know, there's a lot of coaches that wish for other things, man. this is a great team, great group of kids. I really enjoy having them around.
Awesome. Well, Nick, I appreciate the time. I know it's busy. I know Mother Nature is going to throw us a few more curveballs here for the next couple of days, but it looks like Saturday's going to be terrific weather. But we wish you the best of luck, and I know it's going to be a great environment on Saturday afternoon for you guys.
Yeah. Hopefully we meet the moment, huh?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Nick, thanks so much. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Nick Beckman, the head coach over at Hal Central, joins us. When we come back, we'll continue talking to some of our outstanding spring sports coaches as the road to the state championships continues over the next couple of weeks. You're listening to the Inside the Lines High School Sports Podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the High School Sports Podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. I'm Jim Powers. And once again, great conversation with Ryan Banta from Parkway Central about the state track and field championships this weekend. Nick Beckman from Hal Central and the big matchup they've got in the state quarterfinals with Hal on Saturday. But we've got more hardware to give out here in the middle of the week, and it's on the boys volleyball side. And what a terrific job by the Junior Bills of St. Louis University High. They will advance to play Viani tonight in the Class 4 state championship. And we had a chance to talk to Jeff Cheek earlier this year. Had to bring him back on as the Junior Bills get ready to win just another state championship. And Jeff, it's been a terrific season for you guys. You know, when we talked earlier, you guys were, you know, it started off the season well, still undefeated on the year, 32-0. But I think the monkey got off your back with the whole consecutive set thing. And I know you hated talking about it up to that point, but your kids have just played terrific all year long. And this district and the semifinal on Tuesday night, it was not easy in the least bit to get to the point to where you're playing for a state championship.
No, not at all. And yeah, you know, it's funny, bring up the set streak, right? You know, my take on that, but now that it's passed, you know, to brag on the team, their mental approach day in, day out, got us to that point, the fight for each individual point and not looking past that. And props to DeSmet and Tim Hafner's crew over there for taking the set. They have a great team, and hopefully we'll make a really good run in the 3A side. But no, I mean, last night's game against Eureka, or I guess it was Tuesday night's game against Eureka, crazy. I mean, Eureka's super talented. They have one of the top liberos in the state. So we know putting a lot of pressure on them was going to be tough. We knew they were going to be a really good opponent, and they were. We just, you know, played well enough to come out and have the opportunity to play in the state finals.
And from what I was told, the atmosphere at Maryville was off the charts, and I expect nothing less. I mean, it's a great venue. And once again, I think it brings back a lot of the excitement that we've had a chance to talk about earlier this year on where boys volleyball is going and where the prospects of it can continue to grow.
100%. And that's the whole point of it, right? Is get these younger boys into the Maryville gym, hopefully tonight, and be able to witness two historic programs in Missouri with Viani and SLU. And I think also two programs that go about the right way. You know, it's the kids work hard. They're great teammates. They have great respect for the other team on the other side of the net, whoever that is, and led by Jeff Gabbard, who's one of the best ever to do it. And in my mind, it's such a great opportunity for these younger kids in grade school or younger to be able to watch this level of play for both 4A and 3A. I think the finals are going to be phenomenal on both sides of it.
Let's talk about your kids. And we talked about a few of these young men earlier this year, but they have continued just having unbelievable years. And once again, Philip Bone, you look at the season that he's had, 286 kills, you know, on 563 total attacks. I mean, that's just an amazing number on the high school level to see a young man being able to put up those types of numbers and have the offense kind of work through him.
Yeah, definitely. And the way I look at Philip is he plays his role so well. And it varies to each match, right? We always know the other coach is generally going to shift the block in front of Phil. We know that Phil's going to have the tougher matchup, and we have so much talent around that even when he doesn't get set a ton of balls, the Michael Yems of the world, the Jack Krauses are also a significant part, but Phil enjoys his role no matter what it is. If it's the go-to guy who executes at a crazy high level, or if it's kind of that, hey, we know that they're going to shade to me, so I need to be a great teammate and do my job to make the other guys successful. And just what a great, great guy, great athlete, great volleyball player.
And one of the things I noticed in watching some video, I've had a chance to watch some of the games online, is he makes those little adjustments that you don't normally see a high school volleyball player make. If he knows that a double is coming on a block, he's able to make that slight adjustment with his swing to be able to take that double away and able to find a spot. And honestly, you know this as well as I do. You don't see that very often on the high school level.
No, and props to him. He works really hard in the practice gym, recognizing that, right? We put him in situations where we differ what the blocking visual is for him. And he's really natural and really good about being able to see the block and understand what position he's in. Is he in a place for a green light to let it rip? Or if, hey, there's three blocks in front of him, what shot is the best shot? And he spends a lot of time in the practice gym understanding those scenarios and learning those shots. I mean, to your point, high school boys usually are just, let's rip away. You know, they don't have a secondary or tertiary shot. It's all, how do we just put this ball away as hard as I can? And Phil's evolved tremendously. I would say freshman year was much more on the let's just rip it, and then has grown in maturity about what his shot selection should be.
And you mentioned Michael Yem, and he's another guy, you know, 206 kills on the season on 464 attacks. Just another one of those guys, got a big swing, but is also very intelligent and very smart in utilizing where to place the ball, how to change that swing angle to where it's going to be successful.
Definitely. I think you just described Michael perfectly. His volleyball IQ is off the charts. And we are always so impressed with his shot selection based on quick split second decisions. And Mike and Bone, right? When you have that combination of pressure on blocking, one on the right, one on the outside, and really the underrated part of both of their games is they're attacking out of the back row. They can't even cheat real hard over to Bone because we'll run a back D ball over to Michael, and he's so efficient with his shot selection. And he's a guy who sets up our blocking schemes, will be a coach in the near future, in my opinion, after he's done at Carthage. He's a guy that loves volleyball and just sees the game differently, especially for a teenager.
And it's really cool to see those guys too, because I know sometimes you guys will run that center attack to where let them go from the back row and let them take a shot from it from behind the attack line. And once again, it's not what you see a lot of high schools do. A lot of high schools will either get it to the right or get it to the outside. You're starting to see now a lot of high school teams that are using that center attack, because that's what a lot of colleges are going to do. If you're going to go to the next level, you have to have that knowledge for the center attack and taking the big swing from behind the attack line.
And it's funny, right? I mean, back in the day, show our age, but it was like, hey, we're going to set back and it's going to be high. We're going to set outside, it's going to be high or a middle. So everything's really predictable. And the evolution of the game has really just proven that back row attack really is a very difficult ball, especially with a lot of the tempo that high school teams are running now out of it. It's not even like the old school, hey, I'm going to throw a high pipe and let a guy just go get it. I mean, it's more in tempo than most sets that you see going to the pin. So the execution of it is phenomenal. And that just shows what great athletes and how the game's evolved in the state of Missouri too.
Talk a little bit about George Henneken and wow, 767 assists, everything runs through him. And he, once again, he has such a knack for putting the ball in the right spots for those guys to make the proper swings and to get you guys into great situations.
Yeah, George is amazing. I think I'm out of words on how to describe George. He's a coach's dream. When he walks into the gym, you would never know that he is as good as he is because of how humble and what a great teammate he is, and works so hard in the gym and works hard to make the other guys successful and be in the spotlight. And, you know, I have so many stories about George, but like his selflessness on the court and on the team is what has also propelled the SLU program. He won the Post-Dispatch Dunn-Martel Award, which is recognizing some of the top athletes and academic athletes. And he won that And even then, I'm like, with all the praise that comes to that, you still, if you've met George, he's even a better guy. So spoiled to have him for 4 years, well, I guess three with COVID. But man, I mean, the adjectives you can put on him and his game are limitless. We're spoiled to have him. And again, talking of a coach and a high volleyball IQ, that's George.
No doubt about it. Well, you get the longtime rival. You know, I mean, it's been you guys, it's been Vianney. I mean, this is just set up to be such an unbelievable state championship match tonight. And you know, I know the kids are all friends. They know each other extremely well. You get a chance to get your son again for the third time this year. I mean, how have those conversations been over the last 24 hours?
Pretty good so far. I'm sure at some point we'll go to a no speaking clause just because my wife will limit the trash talking allowed in the house at a given time. But no, I mean, I'm thrilled for him. You know, the experience he gets at Vianney is one of the best in volleyball. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion, you know, and what you said about the historical programs between SLU and Vianney. And again, why I can't wait for this to be a great advertisement to boys everywhere in Missouri that this is the caliber that they can play at. And man, when you talk about great athletes on the other side of the net, you've got, you know, John Wolfe, Braxton Pritchett, you have Drew Langhauser and Ryan Yangle. And, you know, the hope there is, I know Ryan didn't get to play in the semifinals. He got hurt pregame. So we're hoping Ryan will be back healthy. You never want to see a senior, you know, be in that position where his career could end on injury. So, you know, we're all praying that he'll be back and it's going to be an extremely competitive match, which that's what you want in the finals, right?
No doubt about it. Now, you look at boys volleyball is, and I've had a chance to see a lot of the district games. I look at Melville. My gosh, where did they come from? I mean, they've got some kids that can swing a heavy arm. You look at Parkway West. You look at Webster Groves. You look at St. Dominic. I mean, that class three, that it is just absolutely – you could put any of those guys into class four, and you're going to have phenomenal matches. But once again, I think that's a testament to where boys volleyball has come over the last 10 years.
Well said. And you're 100% right. Like the older days, right? It was the same two teams. And, you know, going in, it's probably going to be these two teams, maybe a third team in class three. You're kind of like, eh, you know, they would be okay in 4A. The teams you just listed, you know, you throw Smet in there, Melville, Parkway West, St. Dominic's, they all could compete for the finals of 4A. So whereas before you kind of had that, well, you're 3A. That's out the window. The growth of the sport and the depth of the sport is awesome to watch. I mean, you got a guy like Roland Lively. I mean, we talk about how we can advertise this sport for Missouri. This 3A matchup is going to be insane. And, I mean, across the board, I think probably DeSmet might be the best all-around team. But you have Ethan Jennings on West, who's going to Penn State, I believe, or Pepperdine. And he's a ridiculous athlete. And I hope a lot of young kids get to see him. You have Roland Lively on Melville, who might be one of the top middles through the state in quite some time. I mean, I can't wait to watch that match after our match.
You know, and once again, getting back over to Maryville, I know it was there for a couple years a while back, then went up to Lindenwood, the championships. But to get back to Maryville and to see how, you know, men's volleyball is starting to grow in the metro area, it's got to be great to see the semifinals and the championships back on a college campus over the, you know, a little bit of a change from the last couple of years, but just the atmosphere and the big gym and the big arena, it's got to be cool for the kids to, and you mentioned it having that experience, but also you're able to put a couple thousand people into that facility very easily. And it once again showcases what boys volleyball is all about here in the metro.
Yeah, I thought Maryville did a great job. The atmosphere in that gym, you know, you're kind of surrounded on all three sides, so you have that more of a stadium feel as you're inside of there. And their acoustics in there, man, I mean, I stuck around for that Howell-North Vianney match, and, I mean, it was howling in there. I mean, it was loud. It was, I mean, when you talk about what you want your players to experience as a state run, being able to have that, those kids will remember that for as long as they played. Oh my gosh, it was so loud in this moment. banging on the stands, and there's huge student sections to both schools. And same with our match. I mean, it was amazing how loud it got in there, and it did feel different. And, you know, that's not a shot at Webster Groves High School, who did a great job of hosting over the last few years, right? And love their setup. But I'm with you, right? I think it's a good opportunity to advertise our sport a little bit more in a little bit bigger venue. And also selfishly, right, to show our guys that there's college options inside of Missouri as well as out, where we can start growing the programs inside of the college level even more.
Awesome stuff. Well, I appreciate the time. It's going to be an exciting night tonight over at Maryville with the two championship matches, big crowds, and it's going to be so much fun to be able to watch, you know, some great volleyball and you guys and Vianney, the blue blood, so to say, you know, in the metro area going after it for class four. But we wish you all the best of luck, my friend.
Hey, we'll take all the luck we can get, Jim, and we appreciate you taking some time to advertise the sport. I know I bragged about you last time, but the more we can do these things, the better for the sport. We know you're swamped, so we appreciate the time that you and Danny Mack and everybody has to give to boys volleyball. It's only going to help us grow, so appreciate it.
No problem, buddy. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jeff Cheek, the head boys volleyball coach at St. Louis U High. They get Vianney later on this afternoon over at Maryville University. 4:30 and 6:30 are the matches. It's going to be so much fun. If you want to see some high-level volleyball, make sure you get out to Maryville to see some great, great boys volleyball action. We want to thank Jeff. We want to thank Ryan Banna. We want to thank Nick Beckman for joining us as well. Next week, we'll be on the road with the podcast as I will be bouncing around from state track to state baseball and then back home for state soccer. We'll continue to catch up with our great coaches as they get ready, as we're winding things down, but a lot of hardware to give out over the next couple of weeks. Thanks for tuning in to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. I'm Jim Powers. Have a great week, everybody.